Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you earn, save, and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to talk about aged care funding. Now, what is aged care funding, you ask? This is something that a lot of us think about for our parents, for example, in their 80s or well into their 90s. You start talking about looking at aged care services. For those of you who are very organized, you might start thinking about this in your 50s or 60s, either for yourself or for your parents. So this is a great topic. You don't see this talked often enough. And don't forget that 90 is the new 60 or 70. So we're talking about an active lifestyle. So to really unpack this idea of aged care funding, we have a great guest today. Her name is Caroline Rees. She's been with us earlier. She did a podcast with us on retirement income back in February. We'll share in our show notes the link to that. But Caroline, if this is the first time you've heard about her, she's a certified financial planner at Telstra Super Financial Planning. She has worked in financial services sector for more than 25 years. And prior to Telstra Super, she was also a financial planner for another super fund for 12 years. So she is well and truly an expert on this topic. Caroline, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me today.
No dramas. So let's get straight to it. The first question I'd like to ask you is, what are the key considerations that people should know when they're thinking about aged care?
There's quite a few, but if we break it down firstly into what I find are probably the biggest triggers for people, there's the emotional aspect and then there's the financial aspect as well too. Often when we're considering aged care, it's because we're at a point where a person needs additional assistance, either in their own home because they're no longer able to do the same things they used to be able to do, or they're needing to consider that next stage of life where they're getting 24/7 support within a residential aged care environment, either temporarily because they're going in through respite, you know, sort of in and out as and when need, or at the stage where it needs to be permanent and they're moving into there and that is then going to be their home forever. So often there's a lot of emotional consideration there because it's a loss of independence for that person needing care. We often do find there can be a lot of guilt and a sense of grief for the person who might be assisting them moving into care, whether that's their partner or whether that's other family members as well too. And from the financial aspect, I think what is often the biggest concern is that the way that aged care works in Australia is not exactly the same as how Centrelink works. So often there's a lot of confusion because the rules are not the same. There's not necessarily the same parallels. And there's a lot of information that's thrown at a person right from the outset, the sorts of things that they need to consider, how they're going to fund, the timing of getting in there, the availability of the facility. So all of those things cause often a lot of stress and anxiety for the people involved. And often it can be at a time where there's a more urgent need for care as well too.
That is totally relatable, I think, for our listeners right now. Either they're going through it or they're thinking about it. More than a decade ago, my family went through that for my grandma. And you are quite right about the grief and the guilt. And then on top of that, you have to deal with a very overwhelming financial aspect of it. And we talk about financial literacy a lot, and my dad wasn't really literate of the very complex idea of what is aged care funding. And you talked about respite, so going in and out temporarily. We went through that as well. And then all the way to the 24/7 care, because you really need a nurse there for that person. So my grandma at the time was in her late 70s. So I'm glad that these are the things that you kind of have to prepare yourself mentally for. And so now let's talk about the financial impact. You talk about it being quite complex and not the same to Centrelink rules. So I want to pause there and stress that. So yes, you may understand how Centrelink works, but then once you get into aged care funding, you just kind of have to do a reset.
You do.
And kind of understand the rules. But the good thing I believe is that there are options. So what are the different types of aged care funding arrangements available for people?
We should probably split it down the line into two parts. You've got where they are going to stay in their own home, and that is along the lines of home care services that we've been talking about there. And there's actually two designs there. There's the Commonwealth-funded version, and then there's the one that's generated through My Aged Care.
All right, let's pause there.
Yes.
I think you've given us three important things. So there's home care services. So
yes,
they stay at home, and then you can split that into two. What are they?
So there's the Commonwealth funded scheme, and then there's the scheme through My Aged Care as well too. So two different divisions providing services through home.
All right. So there are two different things. We won't dwell into the description for those, but at least we know that it's Commonwealth funded, and then there's the My Aged Care.
Yes.
So that's one.
Yes. And then we've got the other side of that, which is the residential care, and respite falls into that same area as well too, where we're talking the person is taking a spot in a residential care facility, either on a temporary basis because they're giving somebody else respite, like their partner, for example, or we're at the stage where they need to be permanent because their needs are more advanced and, whether that's dementia or physical issues, they need that 24/7 care and support.
Which is what you want, because you want the peace of mind that help is available immediately. And you're talking about carers as well. So if someone were to just do a quick Google search on the term residential care facilities, they should be able to just get an idea of what that means.
What I suggest to people, Michelle, is that they go to the My Aged Care website as a starting point. It is a fantastic resource with a lot of information, covers both areas, right down to even the steps that a person would go through to get to the point of deciding which path they're going to take. So that is a great resource to use.
And that's a government website, myagecare.gov.au.
Correct.
All right. So now we know that these are the types of funding, aged care funding arrangements. Let's talk about how that would now affect someone's larger financial picture. So there's tax, Centrelink, estate planning. Let's go with the first. What are the tax implications?
What we've got to be conscious of is if we are going to move into a residential aged care facility, that's going to become our new home. And the way that that is funded is usually through you paying for the cost of the room. Now, you can do that in two ways. There is paying an actual amount of money called a refundable accommodation deposit, or RAD for short, or you can pay the equivalent of like a rent. Okay, and that's called a DAP. It's a daily accommodation payment is the term we're using there. But in terms of how that has tax implications, for people to be able to source and fund either one of those things, it may require them to liquidate assets in order to do that, either to pay a big chunk of money in one go, or they may need to be selling things down to be able to fund the higher cost of the rent as well too. So that can have implications there. On the Centrelink side of things, what we often find is dependent on the person's situation, are they single? Are they a member of a couple? That can have implications on what happens with their age pension upon this person moving into care. And that is because the new residential care facility is actually their home. So if they're a single person and they still have a home outside of the residential care facility, that is only going to be exempted by Centrelink for 2 years. And then after that point in time, it becomes a resource that's going to affect what age pension they would receive.
So let's just pause there. I feel like that's a great reprieve, if you like. So you have 2 years where that is considered your home address, but then you really have to start thinking about what that means for your Centrelink benefits and your taxes.
Yep.
All right, that's great. And then estate planning?
From the estate planning perspective, the thing that I find increasingly and quite disturbingly as well too is people's lack of understanding that when someone pays the RAD, that then at the person's death will actually pass to their estate. Okay, so it means that the will has to take care of it. And it also means that you've got to be very, very careful about if you've tried to help your family member or a parent into that facility, that money may not end up back in your hands again because it's going to be dependent on what the will actually states. So we've got to be very careful there about those sorts of considerations.
Wow. Caroline, I think I appreciate you talking about this really tough stuff. This is crazy. There are so many things that you do have to kind of juggle. But what's great about it is that there are answers which you've provided here. So two new jargon, dear listeners, RAD and DAP. Make sure you know that, and that would be in the myagecare.gov.au.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to talk about Centrelink again, because this is a big deal for a lot of people. Are there some ways that there would be more, it's more beneficial to maximize Centrelink than others? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, there are. And it's going to sound strange when I say this, but to understand that because when we pay something like a RAD, one of the concessions that's given is the amount doesn't actually count as an asset anymore. So if you can imagine a person who has reasonably substantial assets and they're going into their care facility, if they're paying for their room, that will take away assets from being tested for Centrelink age pension purposes. So it can mean that sometimes the decision around which place they go to, they might actually want to choose the more upmarket one because that might actually exempt more of their funding from being tested for Centrelink purposes. It might mean that they qualify for an age pension when previously they did not, or it might mean that they qualify for more age pension than what they had before as well.
So what I'm hearing here is that, of course, we're not here to provide personal financial advice, but when you start doing the number crunching, you really need to sit down with an expert to say, in this scenario, case scenario A, if you're here at this residential facility versus another. And this is important because a lot of people do have a home that's now worth 2 million, 3 million, they bought it for like $50,000 or something insane. So you're talking about savings of between 20 and 50,000 just by making the right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think additionally to that, it's to also understand that with all of these sorts of things, having a good understanding of the cash flows of each of the different options you've got, what that's going to affect your net assets by, and how also that means the person is able to choose other things. Like they might want to choose a place where they've got additional fees to pay, but that gives them other services. It might give them, you know, Foxtel in their room or a cafe on site that they can get a coffee from, or they might have outings on a regular basis. So all of these facilities are very different and can be quite tailored to the person. But of course, that often comes with the need for money, the need for cash flow to achieve that.
Yes. And that's why I think it was valuable that you talked about retirement income as well in a previous episode, because you want to fund that. But I'm liking the fact that you do have choices. I'm just going to talk about my auntie who lives in Hawaii, and she's in her 60s. She's got her retirement mapped out, and she's picked this residential facility where apparently there's like a restaurant menu and you can pick what you want to eat on that day. Now, I want to be mindful that not everyone is in the same kind of financial situation, but it is all about just making sure that you know what options you have.
Another anomaly that I find is a lot of people think if their family member or themselves, if they're not in much of a financial position, they don't need to get advice and assistance. I'd actually argue, if anything, they need it more, because they can be in a situation where they receive additional government support and funding if they're of what we call low means. And I'd ask your listeners to actually go and look up what low means is so that they can get a bit of an understanding about all layers of our society have the ability to use aged care facilities and ability to get support as and when they need it. So it is important that we also give them advice to make sure that the appropriate strategies are being used in their case.
That is so helpful, Caroline. So look up low means just to see what are the options out there. I've learned so much just in the, 10 minutes that we've been chatting. But I keep coming back to what you said earlier about, you may need to liquidate your assets. The word liquidate is very scary. Some people may want to keep that home for their extended family. Maybe there are other reasons they don't want to liquidate their assets. To my mind, it's really all about preparation and looking at your options. So what should someone with a loved one who perhaps needs aged care sooner than later do to help push the process along?
I think it starts with discussions around estate planning to some degree. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about the need for powers of attorney. So generally enduring powers of attorney, so that if that person does get to the point where they lose capacity to make decisions, that somebody else is able to help in that process. I think the other thing that we need to do is we need to look for what we call triggers. So they are things like, how are your parents doing? Can you notice any signs of their deterioration, or they're finding it more difficult to live the lifestyle that you've seen them live for a number of years? Are you seeing any sort of concerns in their, like in their cognition, for example, those sorts of things? And then linked to that, it's having the conversation with these people about the sorts of things that they would like to have if they were going to consider one of these sorts of places. You know, is it near to other family members? Do they have some of those bells and whistles that I mentioned before? Are they very concerned about cost and what that might look like and their ability to afford that? So you do need to start to have those discussions, even if it's only to say this is something for the future in case it's necessary, because sometimes the idea of going into aged care is a bit of a discussion about mortality, and that can be challenging for some.
Yes, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to live to 120. She says there's so much to unpack, and while I'm trying to be funny about it, it is my way of coping with it. It is a confronting topic. Now, we didn't talk about costs or anything like that, but perhaps if you're listening to this and you feel like we have to have another episode on RADs and DAPs and the costing, let us know on our email, through our email podcast@moneymag.com.au. But to recap, Caroline, you've been absolutely fantastic. You're saying that there are different types of funding arrangement. They can be government funded. But first, make sure you've got your financial affairs sorted out. Sit down with your family. And finally, look for signs when you feel like maybe it's better to start with the process sooner rather than later. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. You've been absolutely helpful in unpacking this very complex topic.
You're welcome, Michelle. No problem at all.
Now, before we go, if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast or this episode, please share it with your friends and family. You've got a finance question you'd like us to cover in a future episode, drop us a line on podcast@moneymag.com.au. Until next, I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.